The title for this conference is A Personal Prayer Life. Jesus, in the 18th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, tells us that we ought always to pray, or as he says, on the necessity of praying always and not losing heart. Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, expresses it, never cease praying. Prayer, therefore, is a very essential part of our relationship with God. We could ask the question, why was Jesus so powerful, so impressive, in his three functions as prophet, priest, and leader, or as teacher, and reconciler, and servant leader? It was because he himself was so filled with the presence and the reality of God. And how did this come about? It came about primarily through prayer. We know from the Gospels that Jesus frequently spent the whole night in prayer. It would seem that very often he would take his three favorite disciples, Peter, James, and John, and withdraw from the other disciples or from the crowd, and very often go up into the hills or the mountains, and there would spend a greater part of the night in prayer. He prayed before every important decision that he had to make. We find him praying in the Garden of Agony, of course, at the end of his life. But we find him praying at the time of his baptism, according to Luke's Gospel, that he spent the 40 days after his baptism praying in the desert and fasting. He spent the whole night in prayer before he chose the 12 apostles. People today are hungering for God and for the presence of God's grace and God's power. People today are looking for a real experience of God's presence in their life. And this will come about primarily through prayer. My own recommendation is that anyone that is really serious about having a good relationship with God and with Jesus Christ should be willing and able to set aside approximately 60 minutes each day to spend in God with prayer. One might think of these 60 minutes as a sacred time, a holy hour, an hour that is set aside for God. Many things can be done during this hour. For example, reading of the scriptures, especially the Gospels, and reflecting upon their meaning, reading other books about God and the things of God to give us deeper insights into God. In fact, prayer is, first of all and primarily, listening to what God has to say to us, and only secondarily, responding to God. In that sense, prayer is dialogue. It is entering into a relationship with God whereby we listen to what God has to say to us and we respond to Him what we wish to say to Him. One of the best ways of doing this, at least for some people, is to spend at least some of that hour with God writing down on paper what you think God might be saying to you from a particular scripture passage, and what response you would want to make to God's call. Because when God speaks to us, ordinarily there is a call, a challenge. He is asking something of us. He's asking us to make some sort of commitment, And so we are expected to respond. In prayer, there is a place, of course, for silence, a time just to be quiet and to be still and to be open to whatever God might want to say to us. All of us that are really serious about our relationship with God want to deepen our prayer life. We have to realize that prayer is something that is a living relationship. And therefore, we must be ready and willing to change the particular type and method of prayer again and again and again in the course of our life. We should experiment and try different ways until we find the best way by which we can make contact with God and the way that enables us to have a good experience of God's presence in our life. The first step in prayer, in preparing for this time of intimacy with God, is try to silence our wayward thoughts and desires, to eliminate our sense of independence, our desire to go our own way apart from God. A second step is to overcome any fear or distrust that we might have of God, so that we are not afraid to listen to what God has to say to us. We are not anxious, imagining that God is a killjoy, that He will ask us to do something that is not for our good. And so we must be open to a total surrender, a total commitment of our life to God. And this will happen only if we have developed a deep faith and a deep trust in God's goodness and God's love for us. In order to have a good silence and without distractions, one of the very best times for this to happen is very early in the morning, or even in the middle of the night if we happen to awaken and we find ourselves alert and able to reflect and think and speak to God. One reason for this is that if we have given ourselves a few hours of sound sleep, that this sleep is able to wash our minds from the distractions of the previous day, so that we have a clear mind. Another reason is that when this hour is given to God early in the morning, it is apt to be free of distractions. No telephone calls. Other people will not be interested in getting in touch with us. Whereas later in the day, we get preoccupied with many other things. I remember a priest in the seminary telling us that the salvation of our soul depended upon going to bed on time in the evening. He said, unless we go to bed in time to get sufficient sleep, we will not get up early enough in the morning to give that hour of prayer to God. And his second step was that if you do not give that hour early in the morning, the likelihood is you will not give it at all. And he said, a person that does not pray is going to lose one soul, is the way he put it. And so, early in the morning, for at least many people, is the ideal time to pray. However, each person should look for the particular time of day when one is most alert, least distracted, and best able to pray. Another way of saying this is that we should look for prime time, for that particular time in our life and in our daily life that we can give the best attention to God. Now, for some people, they find that a whole hour is too much at once a time. And so it is advisable for such persons to break up the hour, perhaps a half an hour in the morning, a half an hour in the evening. In addition to having the right time, the best time of the day when we are least distracted and most open and alert, we also look for a place, a quiet place. And this place should be reasonably comfortable. In the wintertime, it should be sufficiently warm. For example, I find very often that if the house is a bit chilly, and if I awaken in the night and want to spend time in prayer, that I simply put a bed rest in my bed, and I sit there in bed and spend the time. It's comfortable with my electric blanket, and use that as my prayer time. In the summertime, we should look for a cool place so that we are not distracted by bodily discomfort. For this reason, most of the time, it is best to spend the hour of prayer sitting in a comfortable, more or less straight chair, perhaps a rocking chair, but a comfortable chair. It is, of course, proper to kneel, to stand, to walk. We can pray in any particular bodily position. The idea is that we should do it in a way where we are least distracted by bodily discomfort. St. Ignatius Loyola also recommends that we spend this hour of prayer in our room rather than in the chapel, in church. His reason for that is that there is least distractions for most people in their room. However, a married person, particularly if they should spend this hour of prayer during the night early in the morning, may find that it's much better for them to go to some other room in the house. In fact, it is recommended that every home have a little prayer corner. An oratory, you might call it, a place of prayer. This would be a place that would be reasonably quiet, away from the other noises in the house. And at that particular oratory, there should be a table with perhaps a candle, a crucifix, a Bible, or any other books that you might want to use. And there should be a comfortable chair and perhaps a kneeler if you prefer to spend the time there. Having found the place and the time for this hour of prayer, the next step is, what do we do? I think the teaching of Saint Benedict in the method of prayer that is called Lectio Divina, or Benedictine prayer, is a very good way to spend the hour. It consists of four parts: reading, reflection, responding, and resting. The four R's, if you wish. We need to get some input. We need to get some new ideas. And so, reading either a scripture passage, not necessarily a long scripture passage, but a few verses that seem to have a message for one. In fact, one can prepare for this the previous day or the previous night by reading at some length in the Bible, perhaps different parts, a chapter in the Gospels, a chapter in the Epistles, a chapter in one of the books of the Old Testament. And looking for some particular verses that have a message, that seem to speak to us. It's what I call our aha verses. that when you are reading, suddenly a light comes on. You realize that this verse is saying something to you, that God is using this particular verse, or it may be several verses, to give you some message, to speak to you. So this listening through reading, and that's what you mean by listening to God, it's being open to God's Word, and ordinarily God's Word comes to us through the Scriptures. We need then to chew and digest this Word of God. We need to reflect upon it, to personalize it, to try to discern, what is this saying to me? What message does God have for me? In this sense, we can go back again and again, many times in the course of our life, to the same Scripture passages, and we will be amazed that new insights, new messages come to us from the same Scripture passage that we have used again and again in the past. Having reflected upon it and trying to personalize it, our next step, the third step, is to respond. When God speaks, He expects an answer. And basically, the answer is yes. It is commitment. It is the giving of ourselves over to whatever God is challenging us to do. This dialogue between God speaking to us and our responding can either be done just in our mind, or can be done by moving our lips, or it can be done by writing in a journal or a notebook. Cardinal Newman once remarked that he could pray best at the point of a pen when he was writing. And so many people have found that to be helpful. Having responded to God, having listened, and having tried to discern His message, there should always be a time for quiet, just to be still and know that I am God. This is a very good time to practice what is called centering prayer, a type of prayer that has been developed by the Trappists in Spencer, Massachusetts, especially Basil Pennington. And that means just to take a verse, or perhaps just a phrase, or even just one word, and to close one's eyes and try to center oneself on the presence of God dwelling within one. We believe that God dwells at the heart, at the center of each of our being. And we try to focus our attention on that presence of God. Some people find it a help to imagine that presence of God as a flame of fire, the scintilla divina, as it was described in the Middle Ages, this divine spark that is present in each one of us. And then we simply repeat the word, the phrase, or the verse that we have chosen over and over again. We can say it aloud if we're by ourselves and will not distract other people. We can simply whisper it to ourselves or just think it. Now, this can be done for several minutes, and it may be that a person becomes distracted, and when they become aware that their mind has wandered away, they simply, gently bring it back and focus it once again on that presence of God at the center of our being, and continue to address God with whatever word or verse or phrase. For example, it can be, I love you, thank you, Lord, dear Lord, please help me, or just God, Jesus, have mercy. Whatever one finds to be applicable to one's situation at the time. This could be the way of ending the hour of prayer, or it could be done at the beginning or several times, this centering prayer. But this is what we call contemplation, just being quiet and being present to God and allowing God to be present to us. A healthy prayer life will keep changing throughout one's life. There will be plateaus, periods of time when the particular method of prayer that we are using is very satisfying, and that we continue to use it over and over again. But then if we are really growing in faith, hope, and charity, we will find that from time to time we will want to change the particular method, the way that we are praying. And to do this, we need to experiment, to read different books on prayer, to try different methods. For example, the different methods that are described in our book, Prayer and Temperament, the Benedictine type of prayer, the Ignatian type, the Franciscan type, the Augustinian type, and the Thomistic type. We look for the particular type of prayer that turns us on, that helps us to develop and deepen this intimate relationship of love with God. In the course of our prayer, there should always be some gratitude, some thanking of God. There should also be some petition, some asking for help, and perhaps some contrition, some asking God's forgiveness, and some praise of recognizing God. These are the four acts of prayer, ACTS, adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, and supplication, that traditionally we have applied to our personal prayer life. And having finished the hour of prayer, that should not be the end of our prayer life. A personal prayer life will be such that the thought of God is never very far distant from our thoughts throughout the day and throughout the night. For example, if we should awaken in the night, our first thought should be God. We should immediately turn to God, and we should enter into some ejaculations. Thank you, Lord. Help me, Lord. Have mercy on so-and-so that needs help, or so on. Similarly, when we awaken in the morning, our first thought should be that of God, thanking God for the sleep that we've had, thanking Him for the gift of a new day, thanking Him for yesterday and for all the gifts of the past. Starting the day with gratitude is one of the very best ways to develop a generosity and enthusiasm, because as Psalm 116, verse 12 says, "What return can I make to the Lord for all that He has done for me?" If we will take time at the beginning of each day to reflect upon all that God has done for us, then we will want to make as good a return as possible to God throughout that day. And of course, in the evening, before we retire, there should be some time, perhaps reading some scripture, thanking God for the day, asking His forgiveness for any faults or failures of the day, asking His protection during the night when we are asleep. In addition, in the course of the day, for example, when one is driving a car, when one is waiting in line at the checkout counter, or in the doctor's or dentist's office, or wherever else one might be and have a few spare moments that are not occupied with something else, that does not require our total attention. These are times to raise our mind and heart to God, and it can be done in gratitude, in praise, in contrition, in petition, whatever form. This is what it means to develop a personal prayer life. One of the keys to a successful prayer life is to develop a very intimate and deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We might ask ourselves, is Jesus Christ just as real, just as present to us in the course of each day, as are the other human beings with whom we come in contact in the course of the day? Do we really believe that Jesus Christ is there, available to us, ready to respond to us, ready to enter into conversation with us every moment of the day and night? And is this relationship with Jesus Christ as a real person a very loving relationship? Are we very much aware that God and that Jesus is only interested in our welfare, that he wants only what is good and best for us, and that he is ready and willing to devote the whole infinite power of his love, of his goodness, of all of those transcendental aspects of God's nature, that all is at our disposal. All are available to us. If we believe this, and if we act upon it by carrying on a spontaneous chit-chat, if you wish, with the Lord, talking, responding, asking, petitioning, thanking, many, many times in the course of the day, we will find then that our total relationship with God will change and will grow, that it will have a deeper and deeper, more intimate relationship. But in addition, it will also help our relationships with all other human beings, including our relationship with ourselves. We must never allow ourselves to be totally satisfied with our present or past accomplishments in the area of prayer. We need constantly to be looking for new and better ways to enter into this relationship of love. This is true any time that two persons have a deep love for one another. A lover is always looking for ways to be more intimate with the beloved. And so, if our relationship with God is that between a lover and a beloved, we will constantly be trying to improve and update our relationship. We will never allow ourselves to rest on past accomplishments. To stop moving ahead in our prayer life is to allow it to begin to disintegrate. On the other hand, we can expect rather long periods of dryness in prayer where there does not seem to be any progress. If we are doing everything that we know to carry out God's will, if we're not refusing God anything that our conscience tells us that God wants us to do, and secondly, if we are willing to give God that 60 minutes each day in spiritual reading and reflection and prayer, then we are doing our part. It's like a tennis game. We have returned the serve. It is now in God's court, and it's up to him to decide what he wants to do with our time. And it does seem that for many people, at least, you have what we call these dark nights of the soul, these periods of dryness and prayer, of sterility, when we keep just going out in our efforts to praise and love and serve God and thank him without any noticeable response. This is a part of the cross of our human life. St. Teresa of Avila tells us that for 18 years she experienced such dryness. At the end of that 18 years, our Lord appeared to her in a vision, and she said, "Where have you been all of these 18 years?" His response was, "I was closer to you then in your dryness than I am now in this vision." And St. Teresa, with a good sense of humor, responded, "Lord, no wonder you have such few friends, the way you treat them." This is the end of the conference on a personal prayer life.